You ever sing the lyrics of songs and think about the theology behind them? Is that a thought? Do you do that, Joey? You look at the lyrics of a song and think of the theology behind it?
Every time.
It's your breath in our lungs that we sing. Think about that. Genesis 1:7. Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. That's where that comes from. So the breath at creation is whose? God's. If you held your breath right now, how long could you hold your breath before you passed out? Not long. So where does the breath come from that we breathe every day? It comes from God's creation of order, where the trees make the oxygen and the oxygen's in the air and we breathe that air and it comes into our lungs and carbon dioxide. Isn't that beautiful? So when we sing, it is your breath in our lungs, everything we have from being created to sustaining our life is a gift from God. That's why we praise him. Isn't that cool? So lyrics do matter a great deal. So that's extra tonight. So as I was just listening, so anyway, those things happen. So we're going to look at 1 Timothy 3:8-13. As Paul mentioned this morning, Sunday and Wednesday, we're spending on talking about this biblical role of deacon and what that means to the congregation. We're going to take my role tonight is to be able to talk about the qualifications for deacon and why that is significant. I'm going to expand that. And we're going to talk about the qualifications for both the role of pastor, elder, as well as for deacon. When we're using this word pastor, elder, understand what we're intending by this. What we're intending is in the New Testament, the Greek words that describe an overseer, a shepherd, a pastor, and an elder all describe the same office of pastor, elder. So we're using the term pastor elder to connect this role to this elder role that is in Scripture, but also use a term that we are accustomed to, that being pastor. So that's why, if you're wondering, especially on that handout, why it's always referred to as pastors, elders, that's what we're trying to do, is form that connection to say that what we have known as a pastor role here at Tennessee Avenue Baptist Church, in essence, is the elder role. We have had a single elder as the model, as opposed to what we believe the Bible says is a plurality of elders. So that's why we're using pastor elders to try and help folks understand that that's really describing that elder, pastor, senior pastor role that has existed at Tennessee Avenue Baptist Church, okay? So a little bit of clarification there. So we're going to look kind of at the big picture of all the qualifications that Paul lists in Timothy 3 concerning these two offices of the church, that of pastors, elders, and of deacons. We're going to focus and just read the part of this that describes the qualifications for the deacons. So that is found in 1 Timothy 3:8-13. So if you don't mind, if you can stand, then we'll read these a few verses and then work through our session tonight. 1 Timothy 3, starting at verse 8. Likewise is referring to the verses before where Paul is describing the qualifications of the role of pastor elder. Likewise, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for money, holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience, but let these also first be tested, then let them serve as deacons, being found blameless. Likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things. Let deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their homes well. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a good standing and a great boldness in the faith which is in Jesus Christ. Father, you just be with us. You guide our discovery. You guide our seeking to know more in detail what this passage can mean to us as individuals and to us as a congregation. So we depend on your work of your Holy Spirit now, and it's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen. There is one qualification that's listed for both of these two offices that is an overarching qualification for both of these leadership roles. It's the big picture, and that is these words, blameless and above reproach. Let me read some of these verses. 1 Timothy 3:2a, a bishop, same role as elder, shepherd, overseer, pastor. Those are the same Greek word. A bishop then must be blameless. And then in verse 7 of Timothy 3, moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Titus 1, 6a, if a man is blameless, and then verse 7 in Titus 1, for a bishop must be blameless. And then in 1 Timothy 3:10, as we just read a while ago, but let these also first be tested, then let them serve as deacons, being found blameless. Now, if we look at some other translations, we'll find that other translations will use the word be above reproach, have a life that is above reproach. Is above reproach, and then the those are key words, and in essence, the way Paul has written this blameless and above reproach, meaning the same concept, is an overarching qualifications for all the other qualifications that are listed. It's a catch-all qualification. Remember maybe that first overnight, stay overnight that one of your children spent, or that first trip that they went on, and as a mom or dad preparing them, you kept telling them all the things that they needed to be cautious about and make sure you brush your teeth and yada, yada, all those instructions. And then when it comes time for them to go, sometimes those last words may be careful, be safe, or be something. That last instruction is kind of a summary, a catch-all phrase for all the other instructions that you have given your child as you are launching them out on that first excursion without mom and dad. That's what Paul's doing here. He is saying the number one qualification for elders and for deacons is that they be blameless and above reproach. And then as he lists those qualifications, he's qualifying what it means to be blameless and above reproach. Does that make sense? So what does blameless and above reproach mean? I'm just going to list these things for you so you can get a flavor. It means not to be taken a hold of. It means without stain. It describes a person with blameless character. free from blemish of character. There can be no charge of unfitness that can be brought against him. A person with conduct that does not support any personal attacks or criticism. A man of integrity. This doesn't mean that it's a man or a woman who is perfect, but one that is godly. Picture a dartboard that is not cork, but metal. And when someone throws a dart at that metal dartboard, what's going to happen to the dart? It's going to fall to the floor. The dartboard doesn't have anything that can take hold of that dart and hold it. So being blameless or above reproach is like being that metal dartboard. When things are thrown at you that are criticisms, that are attacks, they hit, but they just fall off. They don't hold. Criticism doesn't hold. Let me give you an example of this. When I was in my mid to late 20s, I worked in an International Harvester truck dealership in Columbus, Ohio. Our shop happened to be a union shop, and the union steward came to me one day and wanted me to kind of collude with him and do something that just really wasn't the right thing to do. So I flat refused it. A few days later, my boss called me into his office, and he told me that there had been a complaint filed against me, and that he had met with the union steward, and the steward had a pretty good story that he had shared, and he said he made one statement that just blew holes in all of his story. And he said, when he told me that you had cursed him out, he said, I know you don't curse. So I knew his story was a lie. And so that's just an example that happened to me, that my blameless character, when it came to my tongue and the words that I chose to use, was there like that metal dartboard, so that when that dart was thrown, it fell to the ground and could not take hold. Now, I've not been blameless. I've made my mistakes, and being blameless doesn't mean that you don't make mistakes. But what a man of integrity, a woman of integrity who is blameless and above reproach, when you do make a mistake, you acknowledge it. You confess it. You go to those that were involved and you correct anything that you need to correct. You make amends, and then you move on with your life. And if you're offended, the first thing you do, if you're a man or a woman of above reproach, is you take that criticism, you assess it under the prayer of the Holy Spirit. Are there any truth to this? Is there anything I should gain in my character that can help me be more of a man above reproach? If there is, you take it. If there's not, then if it's something that you can let go of, then you let go of it. If it's something you can't let go of it, then you lovingly go and confront. Work that out with the individual, forgive, and then you move on with life. So being blameless and above reproach doesn't mean you're not going to. It just means that your character and the way that you interrelate with people make it difficult for accusations or false things or attacks to hold on to you. This is the overarching criteria for men, as Paul listed them, who are in these offices of either pastors, elders, or deacons. there's another element to this. Where do deacons come from? They come from the congregation. You don't, and even in this passage it says, after tested, you don't wait until 2 days before someone's going to move into that role as a deacon to find out whether or not they're blameless and above reproach. You observe in their everyday within the congregation, are they living above approach and blameless? So living above reproach is the standard for all believers. Let me say that again. This is a qualification for being either an elder or a deacon, but it's also the standard for everybody else. At some level, if everybody else is sitting there and saying, you guys need to act like this, and we don't act like that, isn't that hypocrisy? Now, so look at Colossians 1, 21 through 23, and let me show you where this comes from. We know that Paul has written in Timothy and Titus that elders and deacons should be blameless and above reproach. All the other qualifications fall under that kind of category. Listen to Colossians 1, 21 through 23. And again, this is Paul writing Colossians. Paul wrote to Timothy, and these words are the same words that he uses in Timothy that he uses in Colossians. And you, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard. Paul is describing everyone in the church here. He is addressing the believers in Colossae, the everyday pew guys. He's not just talking about these being an overarching qualifications for the leadership. He's saying every believer ought to aspire to living a life above reproach. When he says, you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he's talking about every one of us before we were saved. Before we came into a relationship with Jesus Christ, that would describe our life. And then he says, he, talking about Jesus, he has now reconciled. You know what reconciled mean? It's an accounting term where you got a debits and credits and you're reconciling them. Most of us, every month, when we get our check statements, we reconcile what our books and the bank says, and we bring it in order. So Christ has reconciled us to who? Through his cross, through his blood, through his sacrifice, and our receiving that forgiveness of our sins, Christ has reconciled me to his Father. And so I have become recognized by his Father as a child of the Father because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And we sang about that this morning. So it is Christ who reconciles us, okay? Now this is cool. In order, because, so that, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. Get this. When we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, his blood covers us. And then when the Father looks at us, we are blameless. We are above reproach in the Father's eyes. Isn't that cool? So what's the big deal? The big deal is the last part of this verse. He says, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard. What Paul is listing in Timothy and Titus as the details of the overarching qualifications for leaders of being blameless and above reproach, what he is saying is, you need to find men who are living this way, because if they're living this way and with deacons tested, it's not a two-day affair. It's not a new convert in Titus, he says. They are displaying, they are affirming their salvation. They are affirming by the way they choose to live and by the way the Holy Spirit works in their life to manifest that blamelessness and being above reproach. That is confirmation of their salvation. Without a true relationship with Jesus Christ, you can't preserve. You can only put on an act for so long. Does that make sense? For 52 years, I have been becoming who I was when Babs Brown said yes to being my wife. So for 55 years, I have been a husband, and for 55 years, I have been working with the help of the Holy Spirit and a wife to become the husband that I became 52 years ago. Does that make sense to you? Now, some of you women are probably sitting there, well, he's a slow learner. 66 years ago, I became above reproach when I accept Jesus Christ. For 66 years, through the work of the Holy Spirit, I am becoming who I already am. The Holy Spirit is working in my life, trying to guide me, and if you wanted a list, we're going to look at a list, trying to guide me to exhibit Christ-likeness in my behavior so that I can become more and more who I already am, and that's blameless and above reproach. Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool how the Father is who we get reconciled to, it's the Son who provides the sacrifice, and then it's the Holy Spirit who works in each one of our lives, leading us to become who we already are. Now, what about this list? Let me kind of go down this so we can kind of get a flavor of what Paul listed for the leadership, but what I hope you walk away from here tonight understanding, this is not just for leadership. This is for me. If I have accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, I am blameless, and what the Holy Spirit is doing in my life today is leading me to live who I already am and to live that out. So here's some of these qualifications. To be sober-minded, to be self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, gentle, to be upright, to be holy, to be disciplined. Not a drunkard, not violent, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money, not arrogant, not quick-tempered. You see how that list begins to indicate that if we're living as the Holy Spirit is guiding us, a life above reproach, these are valid characteristics of our relationships with one another. Because that's what this is all about. How do we relate to one another, and how do we relate to the world? This is a description. These are details of being able to live a life that we already are, and that is blameless and above reproach. So, how do we come blameless and above reproach? It's not trying to live that, because then that's earning our salvation. And we know we do not earn our salvation. We become blameless and above reproach by receiving the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. And the moment we do that, then we become blameless. And I don't care what you did 2 minutes before, you are blameless and above reproach. And then it's the work of the Holy Spirit that then moves us to living our life as we already are. So, what can we do with this? I'm going to encourage you to homework. I love homework. Y'all love homework? Take 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1 and read through those scriptures. Make your own list with the translation that you use, and then use that as a mirror. Look and see, does this describe Lee? What area of this list of Paul telling us living above reproach, this is what you're going to look like? Which one of those might the Holy Spirit be working in my life? Which one of these is there some more opportunity for me to live a more self-controlled life? Remember, self-control is one of those fruit of the Holy Spirit. Do I need to be more gentle? You get the picture? Okay. Am I an arrogant person? Those are the questions you begin to ask yourself after you look at those lists. Now, you may come to realize, I really don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. This list really tells me I am not blameless, and I am not living a life above reproach. God will be waiting for you to admit that, to accept his salvation, to accept the price, the reconciliation that he has made for you. You just confess your sins and ask him to save you. He'll do that. And then find somebody that's close to you and tell them, I just got saved. I've been in church for 40 years, but I just got saved. Otherwise, take this list and see if maybe the Lord wants to use the qualifications for elders or deacons to help each one of us in our walk as we become who we already are. Did you know you were above reproach? Do you know you're blameless? Let's live that life. Why? Because it helps the body. As we interact with each other, if I'm gentle and the Holy Spirit is working to help me become gentle, and you come up and you blast me and I respond gently to you, then that gives us an opportunity to learn from one another. The same thing outside the church. If someone blasts you outside the church, and instead of you responding like the world would, you respond gently, then you're opening up a door to be able to share why you can respond gently to somebody who has hurt you so badly. Isn't that cool? So not only is it affirmation of our salvation, but it also is a testimony to one another and to the world that I have been reconciled to my Father through the blood of Jesus Christ. Isn't that cool? So, I don't know what you expected tonight. I hope you didn't expect taking all of these 30 qualifications and walking down each one of them and defining them. It's a bigger picture. Blameless and above reproach. If you're here and you know Jesus, that's who you are. Paul is encouraging us to let the Holy Spirit lead us and we live like we already are. Amen? Joey, you want to come? Father, again, thank you for your word. Thank you that it's got such a theologically doctrinal message that can be understood, that can be so simple. And Father, I just pray that anytime we are reading your word, Lord, we're reading it with a heart and an attitude that the Holy Spirit will take what we're reading, take the truth of it, and Lord, apply it to our life. So Father, I just pray for these men and women. If they decide to sit down and read through these passages, Lord, I pray that if there's someone that comes through that, and Lord, your Holy Spirit convicts them that they've truly never accepted you as their Savior, Lord, I pray that they will do that. And Lord, for the rest of us as we read, Lord, may your Spirit kind of prick each one of us with some areas that you're trying to work on, and may this be a way of us being able to acknowledge that, and Lord, be conscious of it, and be obedient as your Holy Spirit begins to lead us and guide us to living like who we already are. We love you and praise you. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live.
Thank you all for being here tonight, okay? Don't forget your homework and let the Holy Spirit guide us, okay? Be a witness. You are a witness. Be a positive witness for Jesus Christ. Father, we dismiss and we go out into your world. Lord, may we be the church as we go out. We love you and praise you. Amen. Thank you all.